Andy, it's Schwartz. I'm getting calls and emails from the band and the crew, and it just seems like you guys are not grasping the idea of selling tickets versus giving them away. These shows, especially hometown shows, are not a party in the sense of we are inviting a bunch of people to come to your party and drink and eat and have fun and wear hats. No, what this is not a party. It is a party in the sense of let's all get together and party and have a blast, but it's not a fucking birthday party. It's a concert. You are an artist. Your band is an incredible band. We are in the business of selling tickets to your fans to come and party with you. It's a little different than hosting a birthday party where you invite your friends and family for free and you don't charge them tickets to come to your birthday party. Your hometown show and all of your concerts are ticketed events, which means we sell people tickets. If you give away the tickets, you kneecap yourself. So we're not going to have 150 fucking guests at this show. We're going to have no more than 30. And that's a lot. But the reality is you got to fucking try to help yourself succeed. And you being the fucking bro that's like, yo, dude, I got you. I got you. Come here. Let me hug you. Here. Here's free shit. That doesn't help you. You want to grow. You want to try to make a living. You want to establish yourself as a band that can sell tickets. You got to try to fucking sell them and stop giving them away. I hope you're getting the point. And congrats, by the way. I think we are going to sell out regardless of your ridiculous guest list.
That's good enough. Fuck it.
Yeah.
And we're back. Andy Frasco's World Saving Podcast. I'm Andy Frasco. How's everyone doing? It's another week after Thanksgiving. Are you guys doing okay? Did you get in too big of a fight with your uncle about politics? What happened? Take a breath and realize they didn't want you in your life in the first place. So don't even fucking worry about it, right?
Even staying out of that one.
Yeah. Don't even sweat it. No, you know, I was at home by myself with my girl all Thanksgiving. Yeah, we did the solo.
I love it.
You know, we started trying to start a new tradition, you know, doing our thing by ourselves. So it was dope. Yeah.
If you don't know that swag voice, that is E-Man Washington from Syracuse. He is still in Sophistafunk, but he's in this Biggie tribute that
What's
you're taking called? On tour.
Yeah, it's called the Frank White Experience.
Why?
And because Biggie, his alias was, he called himself the Black Frank White. This is a movie from the 90s called King of New York with, I can't think of the name of the actor, but he liked that movie, so he took that name. The character was named Frank White, and so Biggie called himself Frank White. So I was thinking, what name could we, you know, call the band? And so it was like the Frank White Experience, bro.
Let's fuck it go. That's my guy. Always thinking full thought on everything. Nothing is just like, oh, let's call it Frank White Experience. No, this is why we're calling it the Frank White.
Yeah.
This has been your dream to do this Biggie tribute?
The way we're doing it, you know what I mean? I look up to people like Adam Blackstone mm-hmm. and like all of them MDs, like the MD from Arsenio Hall and those type of people. So, you know, and I listen to a lot of Usher and, you know, so like their shit live is really dope. So I've been wanting to put things with a click track and backing tracks and stuff like that, background singers. So, yeah, it's been a dream to kind of do it that way, you know what I mean?
Tony Royster Jr. kind of does that.
Yeah.
Jay-Z.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And then also my co-host is here, high as fuck. I've literally left the house for 30 minutes, and this man smoking blunts with E-Man.
I missed him.
Yeah. Nick Gerlach.
We've known each other for 35 years. No, like 12 probably.
It's been like 12
years. Do you know, I mean, I feel like we've been known each other for 12 years too. Or 10?
I'm bad with the numbers, but yeah, it's been about 10 years.
It's the first ever tour. We went to Syracuse. We played Al's Whiskey and Wine Bar.
Yeah.
Is that still there?
It's Syracuse.
Still there. I still play all the time.
Stuff sticks around in that town. There's a lot of businesses that are still there.
Yeah. Stuff sticks around and there's some new things coming up and stuff. So.
Yeah. Westcott. You ever play the Westcott?
No.
Oh, that's a cool theater there.
Yeah. I wasn't big enough.
Well, you are now. It's 600 cap.
Oh, you can kill it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Without a doubt.
E-Man.
If they can afford you, you know what I mean?
Let's
they got that Frasco money.
Let's go. You got that Frasco money.
E-Man, about that raise.
All serious aside. Yep. So being like a single dad and going on tour and like trying to keep this dream going, It's got to be hard mentally to
You can't talk about my son. I'm gonna start crying.
I know. Well, I'm here. I never get to see you.
You and Michael Travis. Remember that one time you and Michael Travis were about to cry together about your kids in the Grand Cervantes?
What
gig was that? I can't even remember. But you and him got real heart to heart about.
Yeah, man.
Because I think his kids are around the same. His youngest kid, he might have only one kid, but it's like around the same age as your kid.
Okay.
And everybody else was like childless in the green room, and you two were having this heart to heart. Heart to heart. We're just like, the fuck?
Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'm sorry.
No, as it's, I mean, before, and that's what I'm talking about. 7 years ago, 8 years ago, we were talking about, like, you know, drugs and getting drunk. And now I haven't seen you in
5 years.
4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And now your mindset is like, I'm thinking about my kid.
Yeah, it's totally different, man.
And you love it?
Yeah, dog, I love it. I love my son so much, man. Like, he brought me a different, view of life. You know what I mean? Like, really, like, changed the way I thought about life. And so, he's my boy, dog. That's my homie.
Is it hard to go on tour?
Yeah, it's hard to go on tour, man. Yeah. But, that's how I live, man. You know, just how I make my money, so... And he's 5 now, so he kind of understands, daddy goes and plays music and plays drums. So,
right.
He knows that. And so this is the only way I eat, so.
Yeah. You have him on the kit yet? Is he playing yet?
Nah, he doesn't like drums, bro.
No? Really?
Nah.
Maybe he's hearing too much.
He's around it all the time, so he's always covering his ears.
Does that piss you off? Motherfucker, I want you to play drums.
No, I don't
want to
force this on him, you know what I mean? But.
You never know. There's still time. He's only 5.
Oh, yeah. I think a music teacher is going to get a hold of him, and he's going to be like, I actually got rhythm. I can do this,
Yeah. There is that thing, though, where it's like you either really want to do what your dad does or not at all.
Yeah. I don't think he wants to do what daddy does.
How do you teach your kid how to follow your dreams? Follow their dreams?
I think a lot of it is, them being right here with you, My mom is a singer, and that's kind of how I learned how to play music, is being right on her hip. Every church concert, every choir rehearsal, everything, I was right there. So, I kind of followed her dreams, because I was there all the time,
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Do you show them how hard it is to follow a dream, or do you try to make it feel optimistic?
Well, he's 5, so
I'm you can't
like,
really.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just like,
that's
how we gotta do it. But I just I'm always, bringing him around as much as I can, and trying to make it fun,
Yeah,
so that's amazing.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
man. You've always wanted kids, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember those conversations. You were always like, I'm going to have a kid.
Oh, yeah. I love kids, man. Kids have a soft spot in my heart. So, yeah.
How many more are you going to have? He's getting married next year.
I know.
Yeah.
I met your wife. She's bad. Or wife-to-be.
Yeah.
She's like a supermodel. Oh, it's insane, bro.
Yeah, she's crushing. She's crushing it, man.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, I love it. They got E-Man. Like, you go to the E-Man's Instagram. This man's modeling now with this girl.
I need to go to sleep.
This man is taking some
I had to step it up. When you get
can't be getting dunked on by your own wife.
No. You can't step out and your wife is killing it. And you're looking like who shot Bob, So
is she a musician too?
No, she's a school teacher.
That's good.
Oh, that's dope. What grade?
She teaches reading.
That's dope.
For elementary, from K through 5. One through 5, yeah.
That's good. Any year older, like middle school, high
too
school,
hot.
That's when she's too hot to be doing that. She can't be rocking in middle school.
No.
She can't be rocking in high school.
No. Middle school might be worse even.
Oh my God. Yeah.
They are crazy, man. The middle schoolers.
You can smell the hormones coming off them.
And what we teach too, they aggressive too. Like, you know what I mean? About my shoes, I'm like, Mr. Washington, like, them shit's not hitting. You know what I mean?
They
said it to me. You know what I mean?
The internet has made teenagers very confident.
Oh my God.
They have to do anything in real life.
It made me go spend all my money on my checks to go make sure my shoes is right. You know what I mean?
Oh my God. It's like you're insecure for these 11 year olds.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh my God. I better wear those fours today.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been wearing these shoes for 3 days in a row. I better change it up.
A middle school boy might be the scariest person on earth.
He is. He's fearless.
They have I think who has a good bit about that? What's his face? The comedian.
Oh.
He has a great bit about the eighth grade, John Mulaney. He has a great bit about eighth grade boys. They just cut right to your most insecure thing. Like, they're the scariest people on earth.
It's crazy. Hey, I want to talk about your mind state now versus you're in a band called Sophist Funk.
Mm-hmm.
And... 3-piece band, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between being in a band like Sophista Funk, where you're the drummer and stuff, but this project where it's like
You're doing programming. You're doing a whole bunch more. Do you like being in control like that?
Oh yeah, that's you know, me with Sophisticated Funk, we're all like, you know, we have a lot of creative, you know, input. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, sometimes that can be like overwhelming sometimes. Right. But you know, for this one, like, you know, I like started this one, so it's just different. You know, it's just different to be in control and to be like, you know, calling shots, whatever. But I got a great team, bro. I got a awesome team, so I don't do that much, honestly.
That's all. Let's go.
My man's a rock star now.
My
guy's a rock star.
What's
that?
My fucking manager, bro. My manager is a fucking beast. Bro.
Oh really?
Oh my god, yeah, man, bro. He's a beast, bro.
He's great, man. He seems like he's taking you in the right direction you need to be.
Are you guys the only Biggie Smalls tribute act? I don't think I've heard of any other.
Yeah, I think we're the only one in the country, bro.
I really think you are. That's a good market right now.
So, and the cool thing is, you know, we are the only one, and we're tied in with the state too, man.
Oh, so they gave you the okay.
They gave us a thumbs up. Actually, our rapper just did the hologram for Biggie that's coming out on December 16th. He's going to be the motion cap.
Oh, what? Sick. Yeah,
they call him to do the motion cap. So
that is really important, though, to a tribute act to have the okay like that.
How important are these Biggie songs to people? It's got to be like when you play these shows, it's so emotional.
Oh, my God, man. People love it. It's like taking them back to their childhood. You know what I'm saying? Like,
so sick.
You know, I think that's what tributes do a lot. You know, like original bands are cool, and if you can build a fan base with an original band, that's amazing. You know what I'm saying? But people want to hear stuff that they already know. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So when you can do it in a way where, you know, we go into a song, we go into Got a Story to Tell, and when that transition drops, like people are like,
I mean, they're probably having memories. And
yeah,
stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, so it's beautiful to see.
I can't wait to watch it tonight.
What's the age demographic like? I bet you have a really wide range, right? Because like
it's a bunch of old people.
Really? Oh, yeah. Let's go.
Yeah, because
we need to get more young people. Stop listening to Biggie.
No, you know why? Because those are the people who hip hop.
I thought maybe there'd still be like some hip hop heads that are like in their 20s that might come out too. You know,
in Burlington and Boston, I saw a couple of young kids. Like who knew Biggie. But most of it is like 35 to 55.
So it's the real fans. Wow.
How can we? That's like, I feel like I'm aging myself saying that was rap. Uh-huh. That was hip hop.
Yeah, I mean, it was, but so is the stuff now.
Yeah, I know. But like, how can we like just thinking about legacy, how do we keep Biggie in the name of young kids? Like, what do we got to do?
Do it in a different way. Do it in a creative way. You know, like art is always changing, you know what I'm saying, and you can innovate it, you know what I'm saying. So, you know, what our goal is to give you an experience that you've never seen with Biggie, you know what I'm saying. Right. Even if you've seen him in, you know, people like, y'all seen him in the 90s, you know what I'm saying, but you never seen him like this.
Yeah. Right.
You ever heard the music like, you never heard the music
he
with
probably,
the drums.
Yeah, he didn't have a band ever.
No, so, no band.
Yeah, he always just had a DJ.
Yeah. So, you know, just recreating it, giving it to him in a different way, you know. Right. I think Big would fuck with it, you know, really, because he was a you know, he studied music, you know.
Right. Yeah.
He loved jazz, you know what I'm saying? Like he had a mentor that was a jazz jazz cat in Brooklyn.
I mean, you can hear it in his beats.
Oh yeah,
it's definitely more than like Tupac. If, you know,
and his rhyme scheme too is like real rhythmic. You know,
yeah, exactly.
It's smooth and rhythmic. It's like a jazz player.
So
like
New York,
riffing. Hell yeah, without a doubt.
This is so exciting.
Yeah,
because I remember when you first were doing the project, and you're like, we got the Brooklyn Bowl gig, and you were so pumped about it.
Yeah, man.
How'd it go? Like playing fucking Brooklyn music
Bowl.
In Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah, my true, God. Yeah. Shout out to the Brooklyn Bowl staff for giving us a shot, man, and believing in us. But, you know, we put some bodies in there. It was a good show, man. It was a good turnout. Brooklyn, it, you know, that's when we met C's, and we met Wayne, I can't think of his last, I'm sorry. Wayne Burroughs, we met him at Brooklyn Bowl. So you know, that's where kind of all got stamped at Brooklyn Bowl. So it started there. You know what I mean? It's amazing.
Yeah. In Brooklyn, the music's from Brooklyn.
100%.
Let's start this chapter in Brooklyn.
100%. Dog.
You know, it's like our Brooklyn, our stamp in Brooklyn is Dowd and Gummies.
Are you sure you're not high?
I'm high. Yeah, I smoked that blunt. I couldn't. I mean, you guys. I don't know how you smoke this. You know, I'm okay with the term Frasco smokes mids now because y'all smoke this heavy ass weed and I'm just like having this like existential crisis.
I like it. It gives me a little anxiety. I need it.
Yeah.
we're relaxed people, man.
I know.
Look at us.
I'm already always having
trouble. You have more going on than
I'm about to have a heart attack every 10 minutes. I can't have anything that's going to fuck.
I smoke a lot.
Dialed in gummies. You want to do the pitch? Do you know what dialed in gummies are?
I don't think he does.
Okay, let's try to pitch a pothead on gummies.
Yeah, you're going to love edibles?
Okay, let's try to pitch.
You'll like these edibles.
Okay.
Dialed in gummies.
Number one, do you like candy at all?
I love candy.
Okay, this is great tasting candy. We already got them there. Number two, do you like effective medicine that's spread evenly and you know what you're going to get every time?
Hell yeah.
And do you like when it's clean?
Wow.
And clean, what is it? Solvent free. So it's just water and THC blended together in a beautiful gummy. That sounds good, right?
That's okay.
Okay, we need to get you some dialed in gummy
samples. Oh, my God. We just might have won our sponsorship for next year from that fucking plug.
Also,
you convinced that was amazing.
A blunt
that was
smoker.
Amazing. That was amazing.
I should be in marketing. I've said this for years.
You should. Dog,
you technically are right now. We're marketing.
I should be getting
right
paid
now.
A lot more money to do marketing. You know what I mean? Also, do you like aesthetically pleasing things? Because they have the best packaging too, I think.
They
have all the little.
I don't care
yeah.
about the packaging.
That's the other thing. Every
give me high.
Yes, give me fucked up.
Each style or brand or each version of it is one strain only, and it's like a strain that people know about, a popular.
So
strain.
If you have a grower, they probably have made a gummy with that exact type of weed.
Exactly, and you can see who it is. There's a QR code on everything.
Okay.
They're fire.
So
now
from
you're
that
talking
pitch,
too much. All I want is all I want.
I already
to
had
high.
You. I'm just giving you.
Let's go. It gets you high. It gets you high. Let's go.
I didn't say I was a salesman. Marketing.
And we might as well talk to her about our other sponsor, our guy, our NASCAR of podcasting, Deep Eddie Vodka.
Do you drink?
I don't drink.
I knew that about you. Actually, that's okay. You don't have to drink.
No alcohol. For
but
me,
if you were gonna drink, I think.
If you were going to drink, E-Man.
If you were going to drink, I think you'd like Deep Eddie Vodka.
Yes.
You know why?
Why?
Because it's flavored. It's not, you know what I mean? You like a little flavor.
I like a little flavor.
What's wrong with a little flavor?
Ain't nothing wrong
you got
with
a little flavor.
Flavor. I got a little flavor. Shit.
This flavored vodka, though, it's not overwhelming. It's not loaded with refined sugars or any sort of mix. It's infused with the fruit that it's flavored by or the vegetable.
God damn.
You can also get it non-flavored if you'd like. It's my favorite vodka even before they decided to sponsor us.
Shit.
You'll see I'm wearing the Deep Eddie socks. I'm also wearing the hat. I'm NASCARing out a little bit.
I need some of those socks.
You sound...
Shut up. I'm not done, Andy. Mix a little bit. Take a lemon one. Put a little water in it. That's all you need. It's a perfect summer or winter drink. Because they got some nice minty ones, too.
Mm-hmm.
Deep Eddie Vodka.
You are so hot when you're making us money.
Yeah.
Gee, I can't get over that.
Baby.
Let's go.
My
show pony. The NASCAR podcast.
If you're listening, I'd love to write some copy for you guys.
Yes,
if you need someone to write some copy for you, I'm sitting right here.
I love it.
So
go get yourself some Deep Eddie. Go get yourself
some
Deep Eddie.
I'm
going to
write a Deep Eddie trivia game for them.
God, you're turning me on with this fucking... juice to get another season. We've done this podcast 199 times.
That's amazing.
Not me, just Andy has. I've done it.
That's amazing.
How many think I've
You're
done?
Killing it, dog.
It's crazy.
I started
We're
around
almost
108.
At the 200th episode. Next week is the 200th episode. We're gonna do something special.
We're gonna kill someone.
Yes, we're on podcast.
We're gonna kill somebody on camera.
It's gonna be like ASMR.
And we're gonna think it's not illegal because it's our 200th episode for some reason. We're gonna think
we're
that
all
makes,
gonna go to jail.
We're immune. It's our 200th episode. That is not a thing. Yeah. You are a narcissist.
So thank you everyone who's been with us since the beginning. This has been an amazing accomplishment, and I thought this was just going to be me because I remember talking about the podcast with you.
Really?
And Jack Brown was going to be my co-host.
Yeah.
His lead singer in his band.
Yeah. He did it a couple times, right?
Yeah, and then he started acting like a bitch.
Yeah, he made you. I was telling him, didn't he make you cut a bunch of stuff out?
I love that.
He was scared, right? And he made you cut everything?
No, I'm not going to. I'll plead the fifth on that. I'm talking about
that's
something
what
else.
Guilty people say. Not me. I'm like, leave it in. Turn it up.
Turn it up. Point Jack's it at always him. Been my friend.
No, I like Jack.
But like I was saying, you were the band that grew up with us.
Yeah.
We rode together.
For sure.
Through the beginning years of both our careers, we were there together. We had the agent, Brad Raffinad. Shout out to Brad Raffinad.
Brad.
Our guy. Getting, look at us now.
Yeah.
Brad Raffinad.
He's a cool dude.
Yeah. Michigan.
Yeah.
He's on Madison House now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
He's on Madison House? Mm-hmm. Oh, Brad, I'm happy for
I
you.
I should hit him up.
He's my first agent.
I should hit him up.
He's a man, yo.
You should. That's a good agent for you. Yeah, and for people who don't know, this weekend...
Yeah, kiss your band.
This weekend, E-Man is actually backing up the Kitchen Dwellers. They're doing a bluegrass biggie. Yeah.
That's what's going on?
Yes. At Frisco. So if you'll hear, if you, when you see the pictures of the Kitchen Dwellers shows, this is actually E-Man's band backing them. So yeah. What do you got?
This is my manager.
Damn, man. This feels like your pimp right now. No.
something like that. But nah, we've been working hard. We've been working hard together. You know what I'm saying? So I wanted to let him.
So we got with the Dwellers. We're doing like a Grateful Dead Biggie mashup one night.
Love it.
The first night with C's. Then we got a show with a Giant Panda back in Rochester. Hell December yeah. 30th. Then we're in Brooklyn. January 6th.
Yeah.
I love January. It. Nice.
Yeah.
Let's go.
We're doing Brooklyn Bowl.
Well, yeah, E-Man's got a manager. Wait, what? My man's growing what? Up, dude.
What venue in Brooklyn?
Brooklyn Bowl.
January 6th, the two-year anniversary.
Oh, January 6th, yeah. Two-year anniversary.
Of the podcast?
No. Oh, January 6th.
Oh, wow.
Dun-dun.
Dun-dun.
Well, at least you're playing Biggie music on January 6th.
Hell yeah.
Let's fuck go. Them. All right, guys, thanks for being there. I love you. Be safe. Do you have any motivation for the people?
Yeah.
Yo, keep grinding. Don't stop believing. Do what the fuck you want to do. Life is too short.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Believe in yourself. And that's all I got.
E-Man Washington, ladies and gentlemen. All right, enjoy Raylan Baxter or Son Squabby, whatever one we pick for next week.
And drink Deep Eddie Vodka.
And drink Deep Eddie Vodka and eat
Keep
out
drinking,
gummies.
People.
Goodbye.
All right, next up on the interview hour, we have from Denver, Colorado, Son Squabby. Yes. Hey, Chris, play some Son Squabby while I pimp them out a little bit. I love these guys. They're instrumental. They're badasses. It's kind of like a funky EDM. It's hard to explain, but you're listening to it now. I really love it. They're one of my favorite instrumental bands out there. And we talked about it all. They were in Hawaii making a record. Talked to Josh about him being my doppelganger and how he gets people's phone numbers by pretending he's me. I'm on to you, by the way, Josh. So this is a great interview, and it's perfect to be for the episode 199 and the year in the studio. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the interview hour, Son Squabby.
All right, here we are, Son Squabby.
Hey, Andy.
How you doing?
Doing well, man. Great. It's good to see you.
So, I have a lot of questions.
Oh, boy.
Who beats off the most in the band?
Probably me.
Probably Josh.
Yeah, where do you do it?
Wherever.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Where's the weirdest place you've beaten off?
I mean, I don't know.
It's a tough one.
Yeah, I guess
they go by so fast.
Yeah, I would say it's more about the quantity, less the location.
Okay, I'll clap to that. Let's go. All right, Son Squabby, how we doing?
Everything's good, man. It's good to see you, Andy.
It's good to see you too. You guys been working your ass off this summer.
A lot going on.
Man. Was it hard to get back into the rotation of after COVID?
Definitely an adjustment, like for sure. I think we were also conditioned to it before.
Yeah.
You know, going around the country and doing it every weekend. But it felt really good once you get in the swing of it and you're seeing all these friends you haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah.
And it feels like a tour when you're going festival to festival. Each show's getting a little bit more complicated and the music's getting deeper. And it's nice, but definitely an adjustment for sure.
And it's nice to enjoy the labors of our fruit or whatever that saying is called.
I believe it's the opposite of that.
The fruit of our labor.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, you guys have been working your ass off for years to finally see you get on big festival time slots and like, this is your time to really fuck shit up. It's like,
it feels good, man. Yeah, it feels good. I mean, especially knowing you, as long as I've known you, we've been playing music all over the place since 2008, 2009 was when I met you, and you've been doing it longer than that. So,
it's fucking crazy.
Yeah, it feels great. It feels awesome. And just to see that much love out there for music and it coming back and growing. And it's awesome, man.
Do y'all still like each other?
Definitely.
Yeah,
we hang out all the time.
Yeah. You ever almost breaking up?
No.
Not this three, no.
No?
No. No. Me and Chris lived together for a while in Boulder in the Hills. So I think we got a lot of that out. Like, You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, don't cook fish in the house.
Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And how many years have you guys been a band? 12 or 13, you said?
This is the 12th year. Yeah.
So, like, as years go by, and you guys are becoming, like, producers as well, amazing producers.
Thank you, man.
How hard is it to, like, keep navigating through touring life when you guys also want to be producers?
I mean, it's hard. Like, sometimes it's like, oh, I feel like we should be spending more time on this. But it's like having those outlets to work with people is really nice. And it keeps it fresh when you do get together.
Yeah.
And, you know, you learn from all these other people you're working with.
Yeah, you're staying sharp and learning things from other people. Yeah, and then when we get together, like, we've both been working on different projects. So we'll just come together and write a song. And it's like, oh, check out all this, like, cool new tricks that I learned. And, like, did this the other day. Let's try it with our song.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a balance, though. You know what I mean? Like, you're in the studio recording people and doing stuff 5-6 days a week. And I've got a solo project as well I'm writing on all the time. And it's like finding ways to... Sun Squabby is definitely like the project. You know what I mean? Like, everything funnels back to making that stronger.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a balance. It's a balance. It's crazy.
How do you guys decide which songs go for your solo projects versus which songs go to Sun Squabby?
It's tough, man.
I try to take as many of Kevin's songs as we can get.
Yeah, and you get them.
And whichever
he's
the best
goat.
Ones,
just
and whichever the best ones are, those are the ones I want.
Yeah.
And
it works out pretty well. Yeah,
and any song that I make, I'm down to give the band if they like it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like just making Sun Squabby the priority.
Who's like who gives the final go ahead in the band? Or y'all have to decide.
For what? Like, picking a song.
If it makes the record.
If it makes the record.
I mean, I think that's a collective decision for sure.
Yeah.
We've cut songs from, like, albums we've wrote the last, like, 2 or 3 albums.
Yeah.
But, it's definitely, like, a cohesive 3-part process. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm writing ideas all the time. He's writing ideas all the time. We got to go to Hawaii 7 times together the last year, which was crazy.
Fuck, what are you guys doing out there?
Shred.
Well, we'll go out into the jungle and stay at our friend's house, a coffee farm.
Y'all taking drugs and shit and, like, living out there?
You smoke some weed, you eat some mushrooms. You go during the rainy season and you're just sitting there with this beautiful view of a jungle and it's raining all around you. And like, we recorded a bunch of Foley in the rainforest in Hawaii for this last album there.
Hold on. Backtrack.
Yeah.
This has been a part of your guys' life?
Over the last year, yeah. The first time we went there was June of 2021. And we were invited out there for a private party. It's crazy, man. It's so such a beautiful place. And I had it's
you've been
one
going
those,
to?
The first time we all went together. And then you went back with Jenna.
Last December. Yeah. We're going all the time.
Yeah, we're going all the time.
It's shout crazy. Out Big House Productions. They're the guys that brought
Let's
us
clap
out
to them.
There.
Let's clap to them. Big House.
Big House Productions.
Yeah, they showed us the magic, and we can't get enough.
Okay, like, I want to deep dive into this shit because I heard there's some weirdo artistic shit going down in Hawaii. Yeah. Like a lot of art.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just a very, very inspirational place. The climate there lends itself to all kinds of life around you, so you're just constantly inspired by, like, oh, I've never seen this plant before. You're like, that's fresh fruit just falling to the ground all the time. You know what I mean? And
what the fuck?
The artistic community there is very, very strong. And I feel like everybody being on an island in this kind of remote way finds their passion and focuses on it.
Mm-hmm.
So to go and be immersed in that kind of culture has been really, really good for us, like, creatively and just, like, hanging out too. And I don't even know where to begin, man. It's crazy. So, like,
the gigs, though.
Yeah.
Very interesting gigs.
What is it?
All right. So the first one was a private party at this dude's house.
Uh-huh.
Obviously is how we could afford to get out there, and we were playing at this dude's house. They built a stage in the kitchen.
So, like,
cops
on
got
top
called,
of the cabinet.
Cops got called into set one, and we were done.
There's bird cages with
yeah.
in them.
They like they literally modified the whole kitchen to build go-go dancer cages, like, built into the walls.
Hold on,
that part,
and like
that day.
And.
And are then, these like, guys the stage, are they drug dealers or what's going on over there?
Probably some type of evil.
He was an art dealer.
I mean, art dealer.
We were pretty sure.
We're putting cages in the kitchen.
Guys,
we're putting a band over the
guys. Really, really nice. We were pretty sure there was an actual Van Gogh in like the front entranceway.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way. It was it was a very cool setting. And it was like an anniversary for his construction company or something.
How did
like
he find
that.
Out about you guys?
Big House Productions.
Big House Productions reached out to
us. So cool.
So just by putting your music out to the world like that, you know, like these guys found us and had been listening to us and brought us over for that. And then we started playing at this gay bar, my bar. Because that's the only place in Kona that really will have live music loud and like so go cool. late.
Yeah, we've played
it's
there
right across the street from this brewery. Yeah, we've played there four or five. Yeah.
four or five times.
Are you getting set up big out there?
I mean, every time we've gone out there, it's gone well.
It's cool.
Fucking it's all relative.
But I think,
you know,
that's not everybody.
Do you make enough money? So. Like now that you don't have a private gig and you're just going there to write, like, do you
Well, each time that we've gone to do that, you stay for a week.
Oh, no.
And then you play the gig at the end of the week, and it's like, hey.
Yeah, oh, the gig helps facilitate. We just love going out there.
I did just go there, and it is expensive.
So do you stay in the jungle?
Sometimes.
Then what?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Our friend at the Big House Productions, they also have a Kona coffee farm, and this is like up in the mountains out of town. So it's raining there all the time. It's much more isolated and quiet at night, except for the frogs.
Yeah.
Which are also in a
Did
track.
Did you put
on
that
the
in
album.
The record?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's this whole song that has like rain and different bird sounds and then Koki frogs all in one thing. And it's just like immersive, but it's cool because we were actually there like walking around with a backpack, like, you know, like
I
recording
could
just
see it.
Yeah. And there's different, so there's different islands. So the reason
so
why
cool.
it's complicated is because there's so many different scenarios. So like on Oahu, we have like these burner friends.
Oh yeah.
And we like stayed at their place, but their place is like someone else's place that they look after with the, you know, so it's like, and we're like, you know, yeah. And we're like
the sugar
there.
Daddy of the sugar
yeah,
daddy.
Yeah. So we're staying there and then they're like, oh, we got to go play this party in the North Shore. And we go up there and it's like a festival
it's
where they're like
the
only psychedelics,
jungle.
No cocaine, no alcohol.
Liquor. Yeah.
Only psychedelics.
Hold on. What?
Yeah. And it's like, and we get there and it's like, I mean, it's Bush like vibes. Like they're like, yeah, we got the speakers. I'm like, where's the monitors? They're like, there's 4,000 watts, dude. I'm like, uh huh. Like, are there monitors? And they're like, yeah. Dude, it's so loud. And I'm like, okay.
Well,
it's
they
like,
want you to put it.
Well, I'm
we're
like,
like
playing guitar
okay, so,
like, in the jungle.
So the concept of monitors is like, okay, whatever. We're in the jungle. It's fine, whatever. And it's but then it's like, so we're like, what's going on? Like, where it's Jurassic Park vibes. Like Oahu's like Jurassic Park, crazy
so
mountains. And then the entire festival. Gets in a circle around the fire pit, like literally everybody.
That was actually really cool.
And set like positive intentions for the fest
and like
for
look
each
out
other,
for each other.
And like this whole ceremony yeah. before the fest starts.
Yeah.
And then it was fucking awesome. And they had like Cirque du Soleil dancers and fire spinners.
Fire spinning,
and so that's like Oahu vibes. And then like our friends there, like burner guys. And then we have Maui, which is where our buddy Dave Sheldon lives. And he's like, and Mellencamp, and there's like a scene that they're developing there. So we play out there with him, and Maui's like, this is beautiful island. It's like a little more like touristy where it's like,
yeah.
you know, sandy beaches.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. And it's like, that's kind of like the, I don't want to say cushy, but it's like, it's like what you imagine, really like nice. Hawaii would be like, oh, it's beautiful and nice.
And Big Island is like a mountain town yeah. on an island.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's sick. Like everybody knows each other and does like two or three jobs during the day, either like working on farms, picking fruit, or like working in town. And then everyone's a DJ or a yoga teacher or a fire artist or like a sick painter, like your friend.
Yeah.
And you're going to all this stuff too?
Not all of them.
Yeah,
Chris has a baby.
So
now.
The whole thing about one, I'm new dad. So.
Oh, let's fucking go, bud. Let's go.
And then the money doesn't always work out.
Right? Yeah,
so they can go do the solo projects, well, like, still get the name out there.
Yeah,
and
sick.
I'm not really bringing my baby to go sleep on the.
How's it being a dad?
It's dope.
Is it scary?
Yeah.
What's the scariest part of being a dad?
Just a bunch of shit, literally.
Just shit everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. No, it's been great, man.
Did you like wake up one day and like have to like shit or get off the pod about being a dad? Like, you know, it's like I realize it doesn't hit. I'm not a dad. I hope, but I hope we're all not dads yet. If we don't want to be, did you just wake up one day? You saw the baby coming out of the vagina, and you're like, oh fuck, I'm a dad.
Oh yeah.
What was your first? What was first going through your mind there?
Well, I don't know. I was just kind of zoning in and
yeah,
just kind of happened real quick, and I was like, holy shit. This is literally crazy. That's what I said.
Oh, man. To wild. See, like, your person go through that experience has got to be pretty spiritual. Like, connected you guys in a completely different level, you know?
Yeah, it was wild. Shouts to my wife, Jenna.
She's yeah, shut up. Let's go. Women are bad. Bad bitches out yeah. there. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, man.
Okay, so I need to go. Let's go. I want to talk about you being a dad. I need to go back to this Hawaii thing just for a couple yeah. seconds. Okay, you're in Oahu with the hippies.
Yep.
Doing burners. Giving you good the burners giving yeah. you good vibes.
Yep.
Okay, let's go to this area first.
Yeah.
So you see all these hippies.
Yeah.
And they're all just giving you good vibes. You're like, and you're yeah. like, you know, I wouldn't say pessimistic, yeah. but
nice
you're just
guy.
You're a nice guy, but you're just like sometimes you're just like, oh shit, okay, cool, yeah. cool, cool. Did yeah. you really absorb what they're trying to do? And
yeah.
like, has it helped you grow in your mind as a person?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. It's like that's why we keep going back because yeah. it feels fucking good.
What are they teaching you? In like not physically teaching you, but like what have you learned about yourself that's changing?
I mean, I've felt a lot of lifestyle change in the last year, man. Like just the idea of self-worth, self-esteem, self-value. In order to appreciate where you're at, you have to appreciate what's going on inside of you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you're in a place like Hawaii, you're surrounded by beauty. Like there's nothing to complain about all day.
Sick.
And you take that attitude back into your daily life. Like I remember the first time I came back to Denver, I'm like, I live in a beautiful place. I have so many cool people around me. I have so much going on. Like I got to focus on what I have around me and appreciate that. And yeah, it's just, that's definitely a feeling that I've taken away from just meeting really cool people out there and spending time in the sunshine, yeah. swimming in the ocean.
It feels like a meditation. It's like when you're in the ocean every day and you're like swimming with dolphins and you're like, you know,
just like this, the kayak.
Like, yeah. And like this one day, like I'm like in the ocean with my buddy and this, like, it's called a bait ball, but it's like thousands and thousands of fish, like, come and like surround us and are just literally spiraling around us. And he's like lived there forever and is like, this never happened. Like, I don't, like, that was like some magical shit. And I was just like, oh my God. So it's just like crazy like that. And then it's like a meditation because you're literally just appreciating everything.
Yeah.
You know? And you're like, wow. And so it just changes your perspective a little bit. And like when I'm having a hard time, I like remember to like try to appreciate more
mm-hmm.
like what I have and what I'm like where I'm at.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's not totally due to Hawaii, but like Hawaii can remind you of those things. And
right.
that's why when I'm out there, I can like just be my true self mm-hmm. and like not have to worry about shit except for like making music and like being like, oh my God, it's so beautiful. Like,
yeah.
Nice.
It's amazing when we stop distracting ourselves with our phones and everything yeah. else that we kind of want to do, but you know, just have to do to make money or whatever.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe like sometimes you have to like record shitty yeah. bands or something, or like
I used to have to
yeah,
do that.
You don't have to do that anymore. Now you get to pick your battles. But like,
yeah. Yeah.
you know, those things that keep us kind of in our zone of our dream, but not fully in our dream.
Yeah.
And then when you get to Hawaii, disconnect through all that, you get to be the person you want to be.
Yeah.
With all these people, probably tripping dick or something, just having fun.
Sometimes.
I mean, yes and no.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a great place to have fun.
Yeah.
But it just feels good being there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel like some of my closest friends now live out there.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Just being like almost 40 and being like, I have new friends and I love them.
Did you guys hear Dave Watts' story about living in Hawaii?
Oh, yeah. We haven't found the same thing.
We tried to get to his cave.
The old place yeah. yet, but he, one night in Denver, I like asked him, I was like, dude, I'm going back to Maui.
So cool.
And he showed it to me on the map. So shout out Watts for sure. Someday we'll find it.
But everyone, it's like,
he like lived in a cave.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Like actually.
Yeah.
Which and you was can like, do that. Hey, you can
it's
do
this
that.
Cave. You can get there, but you got to go through it. And I was just like, oh my God. This is crazy.
I feel like it's so important to go and isolate yourself to heal yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like now that you talked about in the beginning, like how this helped you guys reconnect as a band in a way of like just like bonding and being closer and closer. Do you think isolation helped that? Because you're not distracted with your lives at home?
Yeah, I mean, the island aspect of it itself, but like the first time that we all went and got a big house together and like stayed in a house together for a week. And, you know, there was party nights, there was like chill nights. We were just like lay out in the sun all day and just hang out and eat good fruit. And like, you know, yeah, those kinds of experiences, they're so rare. these days, once you really are touring and traveling and everybody has their own things going on, to spend that kind of time together is like, it's just awesome. So we're looking to do something else like that. Josh is actually about to go on another trip to Iceland, and he's been spending a lot of time there.
I've heard about this too.
Our band out there, but I'll let Josh talk about Iceland if you want to.
Gerlach told me y'all went to Iceland.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I made Gerlach.
That was your record.
Analog Sun.
Yeah,
I made Nick go to Iceland.
Oh my god, he never leaves the fucking house.
I made him go. Don't let him tell you different. It was me. I made him go.
He could be from there. Though,
you know. He doesn't like.
Did
to
you
admit.
Go to Iceland?
No,
we're trying to go soon, but he's been.
We are gonna get out there, but we were gonna go, and then we got like some gig opportunities that we couldn't pass up.
Okay, let's preface. Like the Iceland situation in Colorado, so people understand what's going on. So there's like a venue.
No,
there's a venue in Colorado that the guy owns, and he owned. What's
so
that venue
there's this
called?
Guy Chad that owns 11 Experience, and they have the
public house
in Crested Butte.
That's what it is. We played there.
Super nice.
Yeah, and like there's a lot of ins and outs. I'm mostly involved just as an engineer and a producer. Like I've got to make a new Mash Sounds record out there and George Porter's record out there.
So this guy built this amazing place. I saw pictures of it.
Yeah.
In Iceland.
Yes.
And now, so he put all amazing gear in it.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yes.
He's hurdling the Denver musicians.
Yeah. He loves funky music and he likes different styles, but like, you know, of course he did a new Mash Sounds record because Eddie Roberts is kind of like the catalyst.
Yeah.
From the new Mash Sounds, like
he's got his hands in a lot.
Yeah. Like him and Chad were like skiing together and it like started as like, wouldn't that be crazy? And then like, 6 months later, like we're out there, like I'm like, oh my god, like I'm in Iceland, and like from like them like skiing together and talking about it, and it became like reality. So basically, Eddie and there might have been a few other people. I wasn't there. I don't know, but like Eddie is a huge part of that happening, and me and Eddie have been working together for a long time.
So did they fund? They funded the record.
Yeah, so that you can rent it like a normal studio, or you can get a record deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
And the records that I've done so far have all been on a record deal, like label style.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's just a testament to Chad because he's like one of the legacies he wants to leave. Like, obviously, he's a wealthy dude, like he's building studios, whatever, is that he wants to like help make cool music.
Yeah.
And it's mostly everything I've done there is analog, like tape machines, like old school.
Yeah.
And, but like, so he funded, you know, New Mash Sounds, big international band, George Porter Jr., like legend. Yeah. And then he's like, oh, Analog Sun. He's like, yeah, let's go. And I was like, okay. Like, small band, but he's like, this is funky. I like it. So like, we basically got to make this record because we're funky.
Yeah, and he's sick. Just like, it probably isn't even about the music. It's about him helping the homies out.
Yeah, I mean, he loves music.
Yeah.
He's a music
junkie. But like, he loves you, Josh. And like, he loves your crew.
Yeah, we're getting there.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's so funny how you guys have these dope-ass studios in Denver, and you're like, fuck that. We're going to Iceland.
Yeah.
We're going to Hawaii to record stuff. What do you like about recording outside of your home?
I mean, it's just cool to be... It's kind of like what you were saying about the distractions and the isolations. Like when you go somewhere to make a record, it's like you wake up with a purpose each day and it's just more focused.
Yeah you're in there like for a purpose every day. The goal is a lot more clear. And we've been talking about doing like, I think we have enough right now to, we're about to put out an album. We have enough right now to record another album. And we really want to go either to Iceland or somewhere here in the United States, like New Orleans. Just post up for a week, you know, and you have the woods around you. You have an environment around you. You can explore, get inspired by it, and then go right back in the studio. And you have all your tools right there.
So cool.
You know, so getting that process of writing is the best. Yeah.
Obviously, we can record for free here. I don't know if it's obvious to everyone out there, but like I run recording studios in Denver and like produce records. So it's like we can make music for free here, but it's more about the experience and taking the time. So we're the next album we're trying to get out either to Iceland or New Orleans or wherever, like, you know, and
that
just
was my
like
question.
Focus.
You guys recorded this new record in Denver?
Yeah.
Yeah. And parts of it in Hawaii. Parts of it. We the guitar and the bass parts we did a little bit there. But mostly here in Denver at Josh's studio at Scanhope.
In my house. Yeah.
At your house, yeah.
It's fucking tight. Yeah, the place
you
we recorded
the new Mash Sounds record out in Iceland, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so they just released that record, which is the cover art is sick. It's like a glacier falling into the ocean. And there's like a picture they took, you know what I mean?
Crazy.
They just released that as a companion digital collectible, like an NFT. And we're about to do the same thing with our album. So that comes out this week.
Let's get into the NFT world. What is it?
It's golfing with Sunsquabby.
Okay, so
do you want to golf with Sunsquabby? Buy our NFT.
It's really
and
cool.
And you might get to.
I think the new Master Sounds one is the first one that they did.
Let me understand this.
And
what is it?
The company is called Lively, and it's Mark Brownstein and our friend Gary Malini really helping us get this going. And basically, I think the new Master Sounds one is the first one. Umphrey's did this as well, though. And it's a piece of digital art that's on OpenSea or wherever you can get NFTs, right? Yeah. And within this digital art is actually an HTML code that you can play the album, the entire. So it's combining audio and visual media into one thing, which hasn't really been done yet in the NFT world. And when they first started coming out, I was like, this would be the coolest thing ever if you could make your album one little clicker thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they figured it out, the coding guys. Thank you guys. And we had a piece of digital art created and animated, and there's bonus tracks on the album. It makes it like an exclusive version of the album. So there's alternate versions of songs. Josh and I both did remixes for it. You get remix stems for the album, and then like having this is kind of like a VIP club pass. So if you own this NFT, we're going to throw certain events throughout the future, like live in-person stuff, virtual stuff, that if you hold this, you get access to. So it's a way to kind of like engage with your fans on a very direct level and also be able to create one of a kind collectible thing. So
the basic NFT is you're cutting out the middleman. It's from source. You're going straight to the source.
It's decentralized.
And it's like you could buy the album for $10 on iTunes and own like a higher quality version, you know, higher quality in Spotify or whatever. And you could do that for $10 or for like 25 or I don't even know what the prices are, whatever the money is, you get this cool high quality player, the art, like different art, but you get access. So you're getting, like you said, like these remixes, like they're not being put on Spotify. Right. They're not being put
anywhere. Else gets
so if you want to press play on this music, you have to buy the NFT.
Yeah.
And then also like the access comes where it's like, we'll do like meet and greets and we'll like, someone's going to get to go golfing with us. Yeah. Like I was joking, but it's like also not a joke. So like you buy the NFT and we might all like go hit some balls. Like, you know what I mean? So
let's go.
Yeah. So it's
great.
It's like, it's really
you
like,
buy the NFT, we might go and hit some balls.
Yeah.
If you're into
yeah.
Otherwise, you know,
so it's more than just the music, but it's like the music and the art that goes with it is like the tangible thing you're purchasing.
Yeah.
But it's also so much more than that.
So you're basically trying to get more personal with your fans.
Yeah.
And trying to give the real fans who really love your band the full experience of what Sunsquabby is.
Yeah, totally.
Awesome. It's like, that's the idea. You know, they used to have these fan clubs or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, it's not necessarily like fan club vibe, but it's like some of the function is the same. You know what I mean? Where it's like he was saying, like, if you buy this NFT, we're going to announce
like a digital passcode.
Like
to
we,
all of that.
Yeah, we might not announce like like an underplay, right? Yeah. Like a show that's going to sell out.
Yeah.
But whoever owns the NFT will get first access to buy tickets.
So it's like a fan club.
Yeah, it can be
similar
like that.
Similar,
you buy into a fan club.
Yeah. Right.
It's also golfing.
It's also golfing. I mean, I'd buy it just to go.
So we're putting one out with this album as a companion to it, and we plan to create more of them because it's been really fun, just the whole process. And
G-Lo's been making a bunch of money doing this.
It's definitely a cool way to like have your fans directly support the band. Like you were saying, cutting out the middleman. So if you're out there and checking it out, that helps us continue to go on tour, continue to get in the studio and go on these adventures to where we can keep creating music. And it's just,
do you think
a really
that's
cool
the future
way.
Is just like, we don't need record labels anymore. Do you think we just have to be a self-sufficient machine and basically think of this more as a business instead of handing off all the work to other people?
I think that it's been leaning in that direction for years now, for sure. Yeah. And you see a lot of the really successful artists like Chance the Rapper. I really think his model is really amazing. And he's been able to stay true
King
to
Gizzard.
His music. King
Those
Gizzard.
Guys are the greatest.
What they're doing is awesome. Just putting out so much music and so much different kinds of music. They're staying really creative and keeping it fresh in that way. I think it's absolutely sustainable to do it on your own. And But you have to be involved. Yeah, it's a gray area.
Because like
you need good people around you as well, and you need help. Not anybody can just, because you want to be focused on the music and keeping that pure.
Yeah.
Right. But
like you could have your manager run the marketing for the, you know.
Yeah,
you
I think we're the label thing. Like I'm a little biased because I work for like 3 different labels now.
Oh yeah, you can't really talk shit.
Yeah. Well. First off,
check it out.
Fuck the system. We gotta burn it down. But also, I work for these guys. No, but like what I've seen with the labels that I work with aren't major labels.
Yeah,
they're people that love music that want to give people opportunities. So you have the Floki Studios, the 11 Music, the guys in Iceland. It's like Analog Sun plays like once a year.
Yeah,
and they're like, hey, we're gonna. I don't even wanna say how much money it costs. Yeah. But they're like, you guys have this opportunity. So all of a sudden the label gave the opportunity for us to get together, do the thing, and then promote it.
Yeah.
And we don't have to worry about it. Color Red is another label I work for. And those guys are like, yeah, you can't afford a studio. Like come to the studio, record your stuff. And like, so they're giving people these opportunities to create. And then Perception Records is another one I work for. And it's the same type of thing where it's like, they're funding these records for artists that they actually care about and actually want to see succeed, and giving people opportunities to use cool studios. Yeah. And use, because you can make stuff in your house or whatever, but it's also kind of cool to go to a really nice studio. And a lot of musicians are like, okay, so if we get 1 million streams, after everyone gets their piece, we made $400.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is half a day.
Yeah.
So it's like having the labels, these like boutique labels, I think, as far as that conversation goes, is more the future, because they actually care about their artists and the music.
But I've never really had a conversation with you guys. We've never really been like friends yet, because we've always been busy in our own lives.
We zigzagging. We weren't.
200 shows a year over here.
Maybe we weren't friends.
You too. You guys are gigging hard.
I thought we were friends.
We're gonna have a conversation about you saying you're Andy Frasco.
Oh, no, that's never happened.
I love it. You gave your number to a fan.
No, I gave your number.
Really? All right, explain this first.
Oh, I mean, we want to get
into
this.
We have this imposter.
We want to get into this?
I do, because I tell everyone I'm Josh Fairman sometimes.
First off, I don't believe you. No one thinks you're me. Everyone thinks you're you and I'm you.
Yeah.
There's two of you. There's only, maybe.
No, you're you guys are big in the Midwest.
Yeah,
of course.
All right. Well, so basically everyone thinks I'm you, literally.
Really?
Everybody. Like on Jam Cruise, like one of my favorite stories was on Jam Cruise.
From behind, maybe.
There was like, I don't know, roughly, I'd say like 98% of the people decided to come up to me and like tell me how much they love you. Thinking I was you. Like it might have been 99% of the people. I don't know. It was like 2,000, 3,000 people came up to me.
Yeah.
And like, they're like, Andy. But this, and I was just like, all right, man. Like,
were you pissed?
Yeah, I'm Jewish, dude. We know, dude. Great. And like,
also,
you know,
Scramble Greg.
Oh, too. Yeah, every once in a while I get Scramble Greg. My favorite once is this. All right, that's a side note. We'll get to that. I've been called Scramble Greg, Special Greg, which was my favorite. But anyway.
Does that hurt your ego?
No, I don't give a shit.
You don't give a shit?
My favorite part of this Jam Cruise thing is finally, it's like, I don't know, it's like the fifth day or whatever. Like, we've all been up for like the whole time.
5 days.
5 days. And this chick comes up to me. She's like, Andy, I'm like, what's up? Like, I'm just at this point, I'm like, what's up? You know? And she's like, why did you pour that beer on my face? And I was like, God damn it. I was like, you know what? Andy doesn't give a fuck. And she's just like speechless. I'm like, and then of course it's me, so I felt bad, but it was like, I thought that shit was hilarious.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, no, I'm not Andy. She's like, what do you mean? Like, she's like, she didn't understand what's happening. And then I like made a shitty joke, and then I explained to her, I'm not you.
Yeah.
And then she still is like didn't even, even while I'm telling her, she's just like, you're Andy though.
I got a text message once like, so good to meet you at Cervantes, bro. I'm like, I'm in Indiana. I'm like, Fairman!
Yeah, so we're doing the boat again this year, though, this coming year, right?
What?
You're on Jam Cruise again.
We're
just going to get to do all of this again.
Yeah, this is going to be nice.
Just level two.
My other favorite thing to do is like when I'm at a restaurant and someone's like, Andy. I'm like, then I like go into full asshole mode. I don't tip. I like request a bunch of weird shit. I'm like off menu. I'm like, make sure to tell them Andy's here. And I'm like,
Take a picture and put it on the wall.
I send half the shit back after I ask for it. And I'm just really out here to fuck with you.
This place is a prison.
Yeah.
No. I love you, Josh. It's awesome. Yeah. I love that we look
alike. Yeah, we're kindred spirits.
Kindred Jews.
Yeah, there's only like four of us in Denver, so it's like people just get hella confused.
Let's look at the camera. Awesome. Yeah. I want to talk to Daddy Daycare over here for a second.
What's happening?
You're a dad. How hard is it to like, you guys tour a lot. Is it getting harder now to like take gigs unless they're important?
A little bit. Just making sure it's worth it, you know? Yeah. But we got to get back out there and sell tickets. I know.
Got to make money.
I give Chris credit. The only gig that he has turned down was like when he was having a baby.
Oh, let's go. Let's go.
He's like, I just don't know if I can do it. I was like, chill.
We almost did it.
You're literally, we almost did it still, but so that's the, you know, but we're conscious of
what
it.
Anyway,
I don't want to interrupt. I don't want to interrupt, but Chris has been killing
it.
It
would have been a good paycheck. So, yeah.
Oh my God. Look at you.
Got to put some food on the table. You know?
Yeah.
I don't want to interrupt.
You're lucky the kid loves drum and bass though. Like it's working out pretty good. I feel like she understands that daddy is a drummer and she's going to be real cool with that.
She came out to her first show a couple weeks ago in Boulder.
Yeah. So cool.
She's raging all the way through encore.
I love
it. 5 months old. That's good.
5 months old. You put little baby headphones on her and
shit. She saw Soundtribe. She literally saw Soundtribe at Levitt. Like, killing it. We were finger dancing. I was like,
she loves the drum and bass.
Yeah, she loves it.
So, you having a kid, you guys touring a lot. Do you feel like it's the right time to finally have a kid because you guys are finally popping and making money, like real money? And
yeah, we didn't think it was necessarily going to happen that fast. But, you know.
Oh, you were planning for it?
I mean, not, you know.
I wouldn't say it was a plan.
Not really.
Daddy.
But, you know,
They took the goalie out of the goal or something. Like, what do you call that?
Yeah.
It's crazy. He's so much stronger now.
Yeah.
He just has dad's. It was like crazy. Like, dad's
strength. Yeah. No neck.
Yeah. Just like, we're like, hey, it's a 2.5 hour set. He's like, of course.
I've been waiting for this day my whole life, brother.
Songs in a row a couple weeks ago. We tried to write through him. That's good.
Dude, he's got that cardio. Dad's strength.
Yeah.
Have you ever?
It's something else.
So, is it most of these guys writing the songs?
Well, most of the time, yeah. But sometimes we'll take it like an improv from a show, bring it to the studio, and
I don't even know if it's. I mean, it's kind of complicated. We do a lot of stuff, but like, as far as like pre-writing stuff, it's us.
Yeah.
But like on this new record, what is it, like 3 or 4 songs came from
just jams.
Like a third of the record was created together on the spot, like the inspiration for the songs.
Like from a show?
Yeah.
Either from shows, and this was like during COVID or too, streams, a couple of songs we did on streams in my basement.
What?
Record, and you're like, okay, we're going to do an improv with these chords and this key. Like, go. And then you record that, and then you go back and kind of engineer that. So, but you came up with it on the spot.
So. Okay, so when you're getting into these moments and these jams, and do you all just like kind of click like, oh, this is tight. And y'all look at each other like,
and that's
what
the shit. That's like where you have all the rehearsals for and all the like, because when you hit those moments and we're all just like,
okay, yeah, tell me about this. All right. As a jam band, keep forgetting you guys are fucking jam band too.
Yeah.
Because I always think of you guys as like dance music and like just like a fucking party.
Yeah.
Dude.
But I didn't realize you really do spread shit out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk. Because I'm new to this jam world. Like I
We're on nugs.net. You know, we're on jam, man.
Let's go. Okay, so you get to these moments. So do you plan we're gonna spread this part out? Or is it always like you guys take the eye and like when you're making the set list, like say, we're gonna spread this song out.
Yeah, yeah. There's like at this point 2 or 3 ways to play every song. You see that synchronized head tilt there?
Yeah.
Three ways to play every song, like versions of it. And it's definitely like depends on the set, how long we have.
Yeah.
Depends on the moment. Sometimes it's like, let's not do it that way this time. But we've definitely like, you know, you'll play a song live for a year or 2 years or whatever and be like, I'm tired of this version of it. So then we do a rehearsal and it's like, what if you did this here? We'll try it out and then like make new clips and be like, okay, now this has this alternate part to it. There's some songs that just have a chunk that's built into it where we're like, we're going to do a jam here every time.
Yeah, and it's right. different every single time.
Improv.
And then you go back into
like something's
the
gonna
song,
happen.
You know?
Okay, so when you're going, do you ever just like fucking fall on your face on some improvs?
No.
It's happened. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Like when he's playing bass, it's like if it's really getting really wily over in my world, I'm like, what fucking keyboard part am I looping? Fuck. Then like he can just like hit that one, like boom, boom, boom.
Do you give him a look when he starts getting crazy?
Well, he closes his eyes and he goes like this.
My problem is I always have the look. I'm always have permanent bass face. Like people are like, is he mad? Is he loving it? No, am I okay?
I'm like that. I'm standing like, there watching you and I'm like, because he's like,
yeah.
I'm like, yeah.
And like, what about you? Like, what's going on?
He's
you
just killing, he's just guys killing like, it. He's yeah. Butter's just in the zone.
Butter's holding on.
He's holding on tight.
You've been playing to a metronome for so many years now. Your timing's yeah, just like, she's just like, yeah. He's just killing.
So you're you know? Live looping like yeah. program stuff as well?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's so it's like, I've got six outputs coming out of Ableton now. Two are guitars, two are keyboards, and then a stereo. And I've got all that matrix fuck? And stuff. And then I have like, so I'll make like drum loops, percussion loops, and then Chris will lay in with that. He'll send a bass line, and then I'll put like a keyboard part down, lay a little synth over it, and then start playing guitar.
You
or like
ears?
Change up the, or yeah.
So you have a click in your uh-huh. ear?
Just yeah, so- and then we each have mics that we can like throw little audibles to each other.
That's kind of newer stuff though. Like, well, he's had the click for a long time, but like since I've been in the band, it went from like way looser, like yeah. no click and all this stuff.
Less vibe.
To like being like, hey, we're really trying to do some shit.
Yeah.
Like, let's, and then this we start, so and we implement little to tools. It. Where like when I got the click, all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, my life. I love this because now yeah. I know what's where happening.
You can make these big silent parts yeah, of
you don't
a
have
jam.
To keep playing.
Yeah, and that helps the jam probably. Because yeah. mm-hmm. like,
let's say it's more cohesive. It feels like you're live writing a song, yeah. which is why we can take some of these improvs yeah. and go back and be like, it's at this tempo. You can take parts of what you recorded in the live part and either sample that or re-record it, but have it actually lined up.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. So you're recording everything, all your
We've
samples.
Been recording everything, yeah.
Yeah, and then...
This is tight, dude.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the talkbacks is like a newer thing too. So now it's like, it just keeps opening the doors further into how deep you can go. Cause Kevin can do a really complicated progression and usually our ears are fine. Like you play whatever, but sometimes like, what's the third chord? Like, is like, what is going on? Cause there's just so much happening and right. he can just be like, yo, we're doing this. And then let's build it up and do some. And then all of a sudden you're like literally live producing yourself.
Oh, this is why you guys are fucking getting high off this shit.
Yeah.
As producers. Now this is all opening. Okay. Holy shit. You guys are doing a lot of work.
Yeah.
So have you ever like fucked up with the metronome, with the programming and like don't know where the fuck y'all are at?
No.
I mean, yeah, because he's over there playing bass.
You kidding me? I have definitely never totally fucked up in front of thousands
What's
of people.
What's the worst? What's the worst fuck up? Where were you?
I mean, I know my worst fuck up.
There's
right
a couple of like nightmare things that can happen, and I have to like stay really focused. We've been drinking less at shows.
I could tell you have to.
We've been drinking less at shows.
You really
and
have
to.
And
we recording this shit every night too. I've been uploading the boards to Nugs and everything, so I'll listen to everything. It's like watching the tape. You're like,
wow.
You're like, oh, that part was kind of.
There
you
he
know.
Is, Joff sipping the tequila again, or whatever.
That's usually me.
Yeah.
But,
you got to be kind of straight. When you're running computer and metronome shit, like I realize that too. Like,
yeah,
you got to be on it.
It's a sequence. But you know, lately it's been really smooth for sure. But there's like a couple nightmare things that happen. Like if I hit one button wrong, it's going to launch eight clips at the same time in like a different song. And you're like, fuck. And like, you can get out of that real quick, but the reflexes have definitely become like, I have a whole system of knobs and buttons that I hit that like, I could explain it to you if I had it here, but it still wouldn't make any sense. You know?
If I'm in panic, I'll be pressing all these. Like, oh my God. Oh
There's
my
like
God.
A panic knob. You know what I mean? That's like, fade everything out.
Yeah.
And then reset.
Oh, okay.
I've definitely gotten lost and played an entire wrong part.
You did.
Wow.
Recently.
Wow.
We won't talk about it.
While literally knowing it's wrong and like.
Still going?
It's like. It's like the worst. It's like the existential, like you're standing in front of yourself just. Like for like Happy Gilmore vibes, just like
what have I done?
Here we
you
go.
Know? And then I'm what like, I know I'm fucking up.
While you're playing,
yeah. No, and I'm like,
he's looking at me.
And I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Why do I not know what to do? I always know what to do. I don't know what to do. And then it's like, gets to the next part. I'm like, oh, I see what I did.
To be fair, like, it was a new song.
Like, you get to the part where you finally do know, and you're like, oh my God, I just fucked up for like a minute.
Yeah, but you know what? The next
where
rehearsal,
was it, Sigur Rós?
No, that was an incredible set.
That was good. I watched that show.
No, that was a...
That was fucking good, dude.
It was a good time.
What?
I don't know. We don't have to talk about it, but the the important thing is we came back and had a rehearsal in the next week. Yeah. And Josh goes, let's do that song first.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what it's about. Like, you can make as many fucking mistakes as you want.
Oh, so
the idea is to make less.
It bothered you for a week?
It still bothers.
It's still
I literally don't.
Let's go.
Dedication.
Yeah, let's go.
Years. I feel like you do know me. Like, it's never going to end.
I know.
Like,
that's what I was saying.
I'm gonna be like 70 years old. Like, I can't believe that shit.
I know. That's what I was saying. Like, yeah. You're like a different man since Hawaii.
Yeah. So I'm trying to let it go. I won't make that same mistake ever again.
This is fucking really cool. Okay. Not. So let's go to that moment when you find that that pure Nirvana moment that you're, we're recording this. Yeah. Do you all like look at each other like, what the fuck? Or is it like, what's it like? What's
a lot
like?
Of times? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, those are definitely like when you can just tell that it's all clicking and that like, we were all teeing up an idea and those lined up. You know what I mean? All the ideas line up at the same time. You're like, it's happening. Dude, we're doing the thing. That's what we say all the time. Yeah. We're doing the thing. It's the thing, you know, that we practice for. It's happening.
Yeah.
And there's people here.
Yeah.
And there's like we're levels. Sharing it. Like when me and Chris, like we're jamming. So we literally don't know how long it's going to go.
Yeah.
Like we're all making educated guesses of what everyone else is thinking. You know what I mean? Like we've all played together a lot.
Yeah,
so I'm like,
know.
I think Kevin's going to do this maybe.
Yeah,
and Chris instinct. Is like, I think they're doing it. And like, so it's like, because it's not all, we're not like in the talkback. Mike's like, now this happens.
It's
no.
Body
like,
language thing.
It's like very much intuitive.
Yeah.
And so when you're jamming and you don't know what's going to happen, and me and Chris are like locking up on levels, and it's like, yeah. And then and Kevin's like, oh, we're doing it. And then like, we're all like, I think we are peaking. I'm peaking.
It's like, come.
Just like, pew, 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 pew. And then like, Kevin like looks up and we're like, we are peaking. Like, you know, we like, we can't.
It's happening.
Yeah.
And so like, those are the moments when like, no one said anything and everyone was on the same page and it's improvised and like, we don't even know what's happening.
Yeah.
Those are like,
and
the
then
most
you like
fun.
Walk over the mic after and be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like that's what we're striving for, you know, and that's been happening more and more, which is dope.
Do you ever, that's dope. So do you ever like forget to look at each other with a dope moment and then like after the end of the show, you're like, yeah, that song, that part. And you're like, yeah, bro, and all three.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
I love that. God, this is very exciting. This is interesting. I think the reason, you know, the telepathic stuff is because of sharing a couch. Or sharing a fucking van.
Yeah.
For 10. People forget how important those years are to make a band click.
Yeah.
You need those years of fucking doing shitty cocaine in Kansas or
grinding,
sleeping at someone's house on the floor or sleeping in the van and then going playing the next day to no one.
Yep.
You need those days to click because. That's when you guys are the happiest, right? When you're all three clicking together?
Yeah.
My first gig with these guys got canceled, and we were on our way to Salt Lake City, and the promoter's like, oh, I got a new venue. It's called The Loading Dock.
The Loading Dock.
It turns out it wasn't The Loading Dock. It was A Loading Dock.
Where trucks load.
And we literally showed up. We literally showed up to an abandoned building.
Like a garage.
Like garage, abandoned building. And set up on a loading dock to the outside. And it's like cold. They're like, we're going to bring in heaters. Don't worry. And we're like, and we played for like, I don't know, like
100
people. Kids.
Yep.
I mean, there was kids.
And then it was like Boise like, when we played Northern.
But it was like, we got a new venue, like The Loading Dock. And it's like.
You mean just a loading dock?
And that was my first gig with these guys where I was like.
That was your first
I was like, I'm in Sun Squabby now. Because I've been, was it 5 years?
6 years.
Five or 6 years now. But like, that was like the first. Run with them, and like I had seen them, like we had worked in the studio on like.
So you guys are the OGs, drums.
Yeah, OGs.
Oh my god,
so I'll always be the new guy.
Oh yeah,
unless
and you showed up when they
guy.
Started popping, dog. These guys had to rough it out for.
I was roughing it myself.
Okay,
many. I've been.
When did it start getting? What were you in before that?
I play in a band called Kinetics.
You're Kinetics?
Yeah.
I used to see you guys poster everywhere.
Yeah, so we would go on like 12-week tours.
Yeah, I remember guys gigging hard.
Yeah, I've done all the shitty gigs.
Yeah, okay. Hell yeah. Okay. See, I don't know you guys.
Yeah.
I need to know.
I've been doing shitty gigs my whole life.
I love it.
Still, man,
what shitty gig do you remember the most?
Oh, man. I mean, the loading dock was pretty epic. It was honestly not even shitty.
That wasn't that shitty of a gig.
No, just straight trash.
I mean, the shittiest gig is, I know my shittiest gig.
What?
We're in Nashville. My Kinetics first trip to Nashville. And we're like, we're in Nashville. We're fucking sick now. And we go to the bar and we're like, oh, yeah. And it's like, wait, this place, I don't know, does it suck? I think maybe this place sucks. I don't know, whatever. Yeah, we're in Nashville, man. We made it. And we play and no one, like, you know, it's empty or whatever. And like, it's getting closer and closer to the gig. We're like, okay, it's still empty. And then we play and literally there were three people there. And at the end of the night, the sound guy's like, hey, don't worry about paying me. Just get your tab. And we were like, we were supposed to pay you? Like apparently we were on the hook to pay the sound guy.
What the fuck?
And like, he's like, don't worry about it, guys. And we were like, we didn't even know he had to pay you. And like,
you're like, respect. Thanks.
Yeah. And he's like, just don't skip out on your tab. And so like, you know, we made negative $300, like drove all the way to Nashville. And like, I think that might be my shittiest gig. Yeah.
One time we played a, before you were in the band, but we played a frat party in Oxford, Ohio, at University of Miami.
If anyone doesn't know, Oxford, Ohio is the craziest, weirdest, fucked up college town I've ever been to.
Shout out.
Anyway.
Shout out.
We were playing outside.
What is it like, very messy?
The freshmen up on the, just like, there's kids pass out on kegs in London. Oh. Shout out. So
college, baby.
They had the freshman up on the roof holding the cinder blocks for the tarp roof of the stage that we were playing under. And one of them got too drunk and dropped his. And it fell off and it hit me literally like in the back of, like center of the back.
Like
if I was standing like 6 inches back, top of the dome, literally like hits me. We like stop. It was like out of a movie. Everybody's like, oh, and I was like, I'm good. And they're like, woo! Yes. But like, dude, they were like, you guys, I think we slept at some fucking rest stop that night because they were like, you guys can crash in the frat house. And they're like, oh, it's just like the showers are right here. And you're
don't do that.
We're leaving.
I did that.
I've done that.
Hey, thanks, man. That was a good time.
I'm just now remembering a bunch of shitty gigs.
Thanks for the natural light.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The punch. It was Adderall.
What? The punch had Adderall in it? Well,
Now you have to tell it.
They said there was going to be a bunch of drugs in there. They fooled all the kids. It was just Adderall.
They're putting Adderall in the punch?
Jungle juice.
I don't know, man.
The fuck is wrong with kids, dude?
Well,
I wish that was the weirdest thing.
They were incredibly athletic for the next 2 hours after this. That was a very rowdy party. But again, I got hit with a brick. I don't think we got paid
I saw an entire home destroyed in Oxford, Ohio. Literally an entire home destroyed.
Yeah.
And you guys, like,
was this like one of your first big markets?
It's a party school.
I've played it like 10 times.
Yeah.
It's his favorite.
Where are
place.
You guys from originally?
I'm from Longmont, Colorado.
Okay. Here. You're a Colorado boy.
Boston.
Yeah. Okay.
Columbia, Missouri.
Oh, yeah.
You might know it from the Blue Note or Mojo's. Yeah.
Or perhaps
Sean from Springfield, my guitar player. So that's where I saw you. You guys were all over like Wakarusa and Harvest Fest and like Arkansas. You played Fayetteville a bunch at George's Majestic.
Fayetteville's so awesome.
That was like the first market that popped us. I think you guys too. I think that Wakarusa.
I mean, that Wakarusa, Magic Wakarusa.
Yeah. Were you on Harvest Fest too?
No, we never did that one.
Yeah, you might be too heavy for that.
Yeah.
But Waka, those years were fucking, we were young.
Yeah, it was like summer camp in Wakarusa.
Yeah.
10,000 Lakes Festival.
That was my first festival.
Yeah,
that
Minneapolis. So you were like Midwest band.
No, we were from Denver.
Oh.
But we were in Midwest.
I'm talking Connecticut.
Yeah, Denver.
Yeah.
We were just all over the country. We toured coast to coast. I mean, it was like a 12 year extravaganza of shitty gigs.
Look at you now, guys. You guys are getting records. You got sugar daddies paying for your records.
Yeah, this band is going this band is going great.
Yeah. Sun Squabby.
Sports.
New record.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What's it called?
It's called Arise.
You excited?
Yes.
Like really
we're very proud
of this?
It. Very proud. It's taken two, almost 3 years to finish.
Are you sick of listening to it?
We're sick of listening to it, but we're sick for you guys to listen to it out there.
You also got some exciting news for all the Denver homies. You are going to do some
we're going to be at the Ogden, and that's going to be February the 17th and 18th.
Two nights.
Ogden, let's go.
Oh, my God.
Big show.
You know what's next, boys.
Yeah.
You know that pathway.
Yes. Yes.
One step to Red Rocks.
Yes.
You already do Red Rocks, but like to have your own show, you have to sell two nights at the Ogden, right?
I mean, I don't know. It's really hard to get a Red Rocks gig.
Keep playing in our hometown and making a big thing for people.
I'm just really proud of you guys. You know, you guys have been working your ass off, and now it's all coming together. And to see you guys find inner peace with yourself through going on these spiritual trips and having kids and just keep growing, because life happens really quick, and we'll wake up one day and our little afros will be gray, Joshua.
I don't have gray hair, dude.
Not yet, buddy. You're coming. You're getting closer.
No, I don't.
Getting closer to the gray.
You can't see it, Ken.
You're going to be like Albert Einstein up in this bitch, dude.
Yeah, just I'm going full crusty. Like, as this goes, I'm just going to keep this.
Just start wearing a hat and let it stick out.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Please, promise me. Promise me. Go for it. Just go like mad scientist on it.
Yeah, I haven't had a haircut in 16 years.
I'm
going to start now.
All right, boys. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Good luck with everything. Go to the Ogden. Go listen to their record. They're really proud of it.
Thank you, guys.
Before they get sick of it and make a new one. Probably already made a new one, huh?
It's in the works.
Jeez, you fucking psycho. All right, get out of here. Go work.
All right.
Later, guys.
You tuned in to the World's Heavy Podcast with Andy Fresco. Thank you for listening to this episode. Produced by Andy Fresco, Joe Angelou, and Chris Lawrence. We need you to help us save the world and spread the word. Please subscribe, rate the show, give us those crazy stars. iTunes, Spotify, wherever you're picking this shit up. Follow us on Instagram at World's Heavy Podcast for more info and updates. Fresco's blogs and tour dates you find at andyfresco.com. And check our socials to see what's up next. Might be a video dance party, a showcase concert, that crazy shit show, or whatever springs to Andy's wicked brain. And after a year of keeping clean and playing safe, the band is back on tour. We thank our brand new talent booker, Mara Davis. We thank this week's guest, our co-host, and all the fringy frenzies that help make this show great. Thank you all. And thank you for listening. Be your best, be safe, and we will be back next week.
No animals were harmed in the making of this podcast. As far as we know, any similarity, drugs, and all knowledge, facts, or fake is purely coincidental.